It's not Tatooine or Arrakis, but Utah, and it's a landlocked desert. Earlier this summer, a tumbleweed literally came blowing across the road to remind me, but I'd already found the dune up the street when I went mountain biking on a new trail. I had no idea there was a sand dune that close. Sagebrush grazed the lower foothills like flocks of ocean foam green sheep. Our story is taking us to Oregon, which inland is pretty dry too. But follow the Columbia River Gorge down to Portland, and the land comes alive with waterfalls, lush moss, ferns, blackberry brambles, and verdure thick with trees, unrolling like an emerald carpet along the roadsides. When October of 2019 rolled around, we were heading on a road trip to the Portland Retro Gaming Expo. We decided to take a different route across the inland desert. No services for miles, crazy drop-offs in an area that was just plain deserted. We made it to Highway 101 and headed north along the Oregon coast, stopping at a self-serve and pay pumpkin stand in the countryside. We were rather surprised to see farm fields full of marijuana plants growing by the highway. Oregon, to me, has always meant blueberry pancakes, rain and fog, lighthouses, fresh-picked blackberries, and wading in the cold ocean. We left the coast behind for Portland and the Gaming Expo, and were lucky enough to attend a lecture by Tim Lepetino, the same guy we've been talking about, the author of The Art of Atari. Portland left a different imprint this time round, from Powell's Books, the huge bookstore mentioned in the episode about the science fiction book covers, the carefully maintained Japanese tea garden, and the linear rows of the expansive rose garden. We played the arcade at the expo, but from the city, from the strange art at our hotel that just was not the cozy welcome kind of vibe, we were left with a grittier vibe, and it wasn't just the sand and the clam chowder. Welcome to the Whispering Gallery, and part two of Searching for the Phantom of the Arcade. In our last episode, we searched for the elusive path that was the development of computer graphics and video game images. And later, we dug into image file types and the excavation of the ET video game cartridges from the landfill in New Mexico. Join me for two more tales of Atari game cartridge box cover art before we spelunk into arcade's past to find the scary urban legend of the Polybius Coin-Op arcade game. Why is it so scary? Why does it even get a second look? The story is a sampling of a couple of things that got turned into something they weren't, via the magic of storytelling. Kind of another bridge to the imagination. But let's check our flashlights and be ready to enter the mysterious fog of war surrounding the Phantom of the Arcade, Polybius. The two Atari art stories that we have remaining are listed on Instagram, and I don't have Tim's book in front of me right now, so I'll summarize. The story about the art on pages 184 to 185 in The Art of Atari by Tim Lepetino, published by Dynamite Entertainment in 2016, basically what Terry has to say says it all. You can go to Instagram and look at the art he created. Quote, "They got squeamish about putting a black guy on the cover, so I had to stencil in an overlay with a white guy. That was the only challenging thing I did at Atari, and it didn't make any sense." Unquote. Terry Hoff. This was about real sports basketball, and to quote the book, "The only unreleased title in Atari's real sports lineup, this version of basketball was never completed, an unfinished prototype cartridge was discovered, which slightly improves on the older basketball graphically, but not in terms of gameplay. Fans of the 2600 would have to wait until the 1989 release of Double Dunk to get the 2-on-2 basketball action they craved. The other art story about the box art of Atari game cartridges for the 2600 is of the Haunted House video game. There's backstory about the box art and changes that had to be made. The original cover art was pulled by marketing. On Instagram, we have a picture of the game art and of the box cover art. To sum up the story on the Haunted House game, the art that you see has wide, frightened eyes in the background with three bats hanging upside down and a branch going across the top with a spider in the top right corner. So it's very dramatic and scary, done in sepia and browns and grays. That's the Haunted House cover. In the initial rendition, there was a woman looking frightened. The eyes were still there, but it was the placement of the eyes that needed to be adjusted or changed because the eyes were just in the wrong spot on her. So they pretty much just removed her entirely from that art. So it's now just the eyes, the bats, and the spider. I've decided to run a giveaway. You get one of our exclusive acrylic Lucy skull pins if you rate and review the Whispering Gallery podcast on whatever podcatcher you listen to the show on. All you need to do is send me a screenshot or photo of your review to whisperingcontact@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Instagram at Whispering Gallery Podcast. Send me your name and address, and I'll get your pin in the mail. The Lucy pin is also available on Etsy at etsy.com/shop/Suzanne Nicolaisen Art. That's SuzanneNicolaisen Art. And that is listed there for $6. You're getting a free pen if you rate the show. Please note, I'll ship within the US, and if shipping is under $5, I'll try to send the pen worldwide. The Whispering Gallery is a 100% independent show at this time, and in order to grow, ratings and reviews, and friends telling friends about the podcast seems to be really how we can get more listeners. We're pretty much in a niche. We're pretty much we are a pretty focused topic, being spooky art and art history. Thanks for helping the Whispering Gallery podcast out. It's currently just my project. I really appreciate you listening. It's so great to see where my listeners are coming from. And we're still pretty small, but it's been a blast to produce. When I graduated with my illustration degree, I was really bummed that I wouldn't be learning about art anymore. And this has been an amazing way to stay engaged in art, art history, and learning about amazing stories. So thanks for letting me tell them to you and share them. Okay, back to our story. It was in the suburbs of Portland where the fable of the Polybius coin-op arcade game played out. What made the Polybius arcade game strange and so scary? Well, it's not a real game. It's fake lore, better known as urban legend. And from what I've read, there are games by that name now, but they came out after the rumor mill had been started. So what made it scary? The threat it posed to the players' health and well-being. The men in black, the possibility they were tracking the high scores for their organization's nefarious reasons. That the games were removed within weeks of being dropped off. What was wrong with them? What were the games doing to the players? The Polybius fake arcade game is what we've been looking for as far as the Phantom of the Arcade. Because the lore is that it showed up and was gone within a couple of weeks. What exactly are we talking about? What's a Polybius? It turns out, as it relates to our story, it's a who and a what. So going chronologically, Polybius is the name of a conscientious Greek historian who lived in Arcadia. Later, he was kidnapped and taken to Rome. Now, it's about 841 miles across the Ionian Sea, which is east of the Mediterranean Sea. Polybius lived from 200 BC to 118 AD and wrote the histories. Originally, this was 40 volumes about the rise of Rome and the people of the Hellenistic period. He included ideas of theirs and events from this time period. He was known to question other historians, and he was very careful to try and present things accurately. A quote from one of the passages, it would be 12, 4c, quote, "To question as many people as possible, to believe such witnesses as are trustworthy, and to prove him, the historian, a good judge of the reports that reach him," unquote. He even wrote about his intent to share the truth and apologized if he ever missed the mark, saying the error would have been an honest mistake. So somebody out there must have been thinking they're a comedian, because Polybius was born in Arcadia, ha ha ha, arcade, and the twist is that he believed historians should not report on anything they were unable to verify through multiple people and eyewitnesses. But they can't verify the Polybius arcade video game, and resources aren't available. Very clever. Now we take a gigantic leap from 118 AD and hit the pause button in 1981, the year that the myth, the legend, the coin-op arcade video game, Polybius was said to appear on the scene in video game arcades in a few suburbs of Portland, Oregon. Here's a quick quote from Wreck-It Ralph. Quote, "My name's Ralph, and I'm a bad guy. Let's see, I'm 9 feet tall, I weigh 643 pounds, got a little bit of a temper on me. My passion bubbles very near the surface, I guess, not gonna lie. Anywho, what else? I'm a wrecker. I wreck things professionally. I mean, I'm very good at what I do. Probably the best I know." Unquote. Wreck-It Ralph. The further you go in the arcade, the more mysterious and dark things get. There's an arcade twilight. A glow coming from the arcade cabinets, ambient lighting, while you focus on the screen, trying not to get eaten by a blue ghost or creamed by a barrel rolled at you by Donkey Kong. This shadowy world of electronic games, blips and noises, quarters lined up on the plexiglass in front of the game screen. School falls away, chores disappear, and time kind of becomes conceptual rather than a real thing until you leave late for dinner again. There's a quote from Centauri in The Last Starfighter. There's a voice coming from the video game. Centauri. Quote, "Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Xur and the Kodan Armada." Unquote. We continue on the what part of Polybius, the who part being the historian, and the what is the Phantom Game. Long ago and far away, 1981, the year Lady Spencer married the prince, MTV got started in the US, and Coca-Cola and Pepsi arrived in China, there's a story that tells of a coin-op arcade video game called Polybius that was dropped off in a few arcades in the suburbs of the City of Roses, Portland, Oregon. The story of Polybius has evolved to include the company that developed it, that was supposedly known as Zinnisloschen, which from German to English translates to senselessness, as per Google. I read from another source that Sinne means sense and Loschen means to delete or extinguish, as separate words, which does sound worse. It could all be in the translation. At the arcade, long lines supposedly formed to play the Polybius game. Was this game addictive? In following the story, the players experienced side effects like amnesia, insomnia, night terrors, hallucinations, and psychoactive side effects. So what is psychoactive? in Scientific American's article, 9 Things That Matter About Psychoactive Drugs, by Lloyd I. Setterer on May 8th of 2018. It reads, "Psychoactive drugs chemically alter the brain and change the way we feel, think, perceive, and understand our world. They are ubiquitous. Alcohol, cannabis, opioids, tobacco, stimulants, sedatives, and hallucinogens, to name a few. Men in Black are reportedly men that often show up after a UFO encounter wearing black suits and possibly working for the government or other groups to keep things secret and on the down low. They supposedly showed up to gather data stored on the Polybius game machines. The Men in Black were reported in stories surrounding the Mothman sightings in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, for example. The Urban Dictionary defines Men in Black as follows. Usually refers to members of the FBI, CIA, NSA, or any members of other covert government-run or paramilitary organization, or the organizations themselves. These organizations are sometimes involved with extraterrestrial or otherworldly matters. Members of these organizations usually wear black suits, drive black cars or SUVs, provide little, if any, information to members of the general public, and act in a mostly unpredictable and paranoid manner. 2. The government itself, usually used in a conspiratorial sense. 3. Any covert group. 4. A popular 1997 science fiction action film featuring Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. A popular quote from the character Zed, R.I.P. Tom, from the above film describes the ways of the Men in Black and their cohorts. Zed, quote, "You'll dress only in attire specifically sanctioned by MIB Special Services. You'll conform to the identity we give you. Eat where we tell you. Live where we tell you. From now on, you'll have no identifying marks of any kind. You'll not stand out in any way. Your entire image is crafted to leave no lasting memory with anyone you encounter. You're a rumor, recognizable only as deja vu, and dismissed just as quickly. You don't exist. You were never even born. Anonymity is your name. Silence, your native tongue. You're no longer part of the system. You're above the system. Over it. Beyond it. We're them. We're they. We are the Men in Black." Unquote. Urban Dictionary lists the following related words: MIBs, an abbreviation for Men in Black, and synonyms as G-Men, Feds, Agents, Suits, and The Man. In continuing the story, almost as soon as Polybius had arrived at the arcade, it was gone. Nobody knew where it had gone or why. So where did they come up with this? In looking around, here's what people are saying. The story emerged around February of 2000. This was the year the first residents moved into the International Space Station, and when the final reactor was shut down at Chernobyl. It said that there was a coinop.org entry about it, and on Ask This, and it looks like CoinOp lists 1998 as being the original date. The Brian Dunning theory is that two players fell ill the same day in 1981. One collapsed due to a migraine while playing Tempest. The other person was trying to break a world record and was at 28 hours of playing Asteroids. He had stomach pain. Both of these occurred at the same arcade. Again, this is the Brian Dunning theory. There was a FBI raid 10 days later for suspected gambling. Pre-raid, the agents monitored the arcade cabinets for tampering. Then there are more theories, but you get the idea. Somehow the fake lore caught on. Quote, "Unfortunately, there is no evidence that the game ever existed. No less, turned its users into babbling lunatics. Still, Polybius has enjoyed cult-like status as a throwback. to a more technologically paranoid era. Unquote. That's from Ben Silverman of Yahoo Games. Another quote reads, quote, Polybius was an urban legend that had been circulating on the internet for decades. It was the title of a strange coin-op video game that only appeared in one Portland arcade during the summer of 1981. According to the story, the game drove several kids who played it insane. Then the machine mysteriously vanished, never to be seen again, unquote. That's from Armada, a New York Times bestseller by Ernest Klein. If his name sounds familiar, he wrote the book Ready Player One, and that was made into a movie. Radiotopia has a fiction podcast out about the Polybius conspiracy. I started listening to it thinking, hey, good research information, and then, hey, this is fake. This is fiction. I was like, oh man. But something to look up if you're enjoying the Polybius story. Is it just me, or do the dates surrounding the Polybius story seem to be a little liquid? I wanted to pull together some facts, but this story is just full of holes. So, I did what I could. My background is in web design, so I did a bit more digging into who owns coinop.org. I mentioned the site a little earlier. They have opted for all kinds of privacy, but the long and short of it is that coinop.org is held by an individual in Reykjavik, which is the capital of Iceland. The copyright of coinop.org is held by minimalist.com. The registrar is Namecheap, Inc., and registry domain ID is D2674713-LROR. A lot of spooky misinformation type chit-chat can be found on the coinop.org page. At 20,000 feet, it looks like it used to be a message forum or board of some sort. So the Wayback Machine shows the coinop.org Polybius page showing up on February 18th of 2014. The first comment on the board that is listed there is dated in 2003. Wikipedia states the story shows up in 2000. So, let's finish up with a nice, organized story about Polybius from Wikipedia. They say, Polybius is an urban legend that emerged in early 2000 concerning a fictitious 1981 arcade game. The legend describes the game as part of a government-run, crowdsourced psychology experiment based in Portland, Oregon. Gameplay supposedly produced intense psychoactive and addictive effects in the player. These few publicly staged arcade machines were said to have been visited periodically by men in black for the purpose of data mining the machines and analyzing these effects. Allegedly, all of these Polybius arcade machines disappeared from the arcade market. The urban legend has persisted as a topic of interest for video game journalism and through continued interest. It has served as inspiration for free and commercial video games by the same name. And that is the end of the Wikipedia comment. Thanks for joining me for this epic two-part story about the Phantom of the Arcade. The story about the arcade game is pretty creepy, but also full of enough holes that at first sweep, it doesn't seem plausible. I hope you've been able to watch the movies I shared on Instagram for our summer double feature art movie watch list. Phew! Don't forget, you can get a free Lucy skull pin if you rate and review the podcast on your podcatcher of choice. That's Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, Google Play, etc. Just send me a screenshot of the review with your name and address where I can send the pin to whisperingcontact@gmail.com. That's whisperingcontact@gmail.com. So many thank yous are needed for these two episodes. Books, and there was so much online, internet archives, movies, all sorts of things. So I will add those to the Audioboom show notes. Thank you so much for wandering the digital twilight with me, discovering crazy stories about early digital art, and the spooky what if about the Polybius legend. I hope you've had a great summer. Remember to share your favorite episode of the Whispering Gallery with a friend, please, as it all helps. And take care and stay safe. And remember to keep your sketchbook at hand, your flashlight close, and your spooky art stories closer. I'll be back with another spooky art story soon.